Well, hello there, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Backlog Review Game Club. It's going to start here in just 1 second. I just wanted to jump in real quick because it turns out, after we recorded this episode, that I realized that we're very bad at promoting all of our various Twitter handles and other things that we're trying to promote. We are bad at this. So I'm hopping in right now just to get that stuff out of the way. So you can follow us on Twitter at Backlog Review. No plural. Do not use the plural, because that is not us. Just at Backlog Review. We will post stuff on there about upcoming episodes and stuff we've talked about. It's a good time. So follow us on there, and we're always looking for interaction with the people listening. Also, we have an Extra Life page coming up where we are trying to raise money for the kids at Penn State Health Children's Hospital. If you want to find out more about that, go over to bit.ly/ps-extra-life-2021. Once again, that is bit.ly/ps-extra-life-2021. It's not the best URL. In retrospect, I thought the dasherized one would be much better, but I was wrong. And as always, you know, tell your friends about the podcast. If you like it, you can leave us a review on all of the major podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. It helps us in the rankings, helps more people find the show. We're very happy to have more people join us. So thanks again. Enjoy this episode on Halo Reach. I'll talk to you soon. Like in about 10 seconds. Bye. Hello once again, and welcome back to another month, another episode, another wonderful hour together here on the Backlog Review Game Club.
That's us.
That was the closest to children's television show intro as I've ever gotten.
I was soothed.
Yeah, it was for sure. It was relaxing. Yeah. I watched that video of Steve from Blue's Clues. It's been going around, so now it's just stuck in my head.
See, I somehow like missed that happened, and then all of a sudden I saw these Steve memes, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
Did he die? What happened?
Nope, he just turned 40, which is, you know, that's a big event for some people in Hollywood.
He just got old.
He got old.
And by got old, I mean...
Yeah.
He's only 10 years older than us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we need to get into... There's something else I want to talk about with people getting older, but let's do the intro first. My name is Chris. As always, I am joined by my good friend, Paul.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, Paul. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me. How are you doing today?
Doing good, actually. Had to go get some labs drawn, so I had a needle in my arm early in the morning.
Ooh.
That's fun. Everything's fine, just normal labs.
Normal labs. We like to hear that.
Yep. Just had to not eat for 12 hours, which is always fun, so you wake up on the verge of a headache.
Yeah.
Great way to start the day.
Always a great way to start the day.
But the best feeling is afterwards when you come home and you're like, I'm eating all the eggs.
Yep. Eating everything.
No one can tell me otherwise. Screw
this.
Time
for a Denny's Big Breakfast.
I did try to stop and get a sandwich somewhere, but apparently everybody had blood work today and decided to go get sandwiches somewhere. So I was like, screw it, I'll do it at home.
It was a sandwich kind of Saturday.
It was a sandwich kind of Saturday. But how are you doing?
Doing all right.
Yeah.
I just cleaned my butt crack today. My cheeks are squeaky clean. So you know.
We had entirely different mornings.
I knew I was in for a good day.
Look, I have stuff to do. I can't. It's been all week. It's like cleaning out an attic.
It's
getting
rough down there. Yeah, you gotta take time.
Set aside a Saturday for that.
Set aside some time for sure.
off to a good start.
Otherwise, just it's been dandy. I mean, that was good. That was a good part.
I mean, you know, I hope it went well.
It did. It did.
As someone who's had to clean his garage out lately, I understand the cleaning process.
Yeah. Similar. Similar, for sure.
Yes, totally. Not at all dissimilar.
Sometimes harrowing, but most of the time it's nice because you're like, there's a sense of accomplishment. You're cleaning out, getting rid of some things you don't need.
There was such a sense of accomplishment and satisfaction in myself. Although I guess if you're cleaning that out, it could be a different sense of satisfaction. I don't know.
It's really true, I guess. Yeah.
Oh, God. Well,
six of one, half dozen of the other, I think. We'll chalk it up to that.
Oh, that's going to be hard to transition into the other thing.
I don't know.
No, actually, if you think about it, it kind of works.
Yeah.
So speaking of old people or people who we knew from the 90s and have gotten old, or I guess the 2000s in this case. So since the last episode we recorded, we went to visit our friend Mike. And it was a good time.
We had a wonderful experience.
Yep. This is the same Mike that is now super into Fortnite. Mm. And thanks to him, I still have about... I think I only have about another week on my Battle Pass. So...
You were gung-ho about it, though.
I have played more Fortnite in the last month than I've ever played Fortnite ever.
Oh, wow. So, good for you.
I mean, that is to say that I've played more than 4 matches. But I played more than 4 matches.
There you go.
So I'm finally no longer a basic bitch. And I finally have some good stuff. I finally have like other skins.
Ooh.
So yeah, I'm excited about that part, even though we'll only ever play it again during Extra Life.
Yep. I am still basic. My character has a pumpkin spice latte in its hand at all times.
Wait, really?
No.
Oh. I see what you're doing. come on. That would be something.
I'm surprised it's not already.
It would be Starbucks branded too. Like
true.
Every day I log in, there's just like, we've added 14 more Marvel characters.
Yeah.
Fortnite is just the black hole for all of pop culture to eventually live.
All sponsorships.
Yes.
Die here.
I've had to see that stupid ad for Free Guy with Ryan Reynolds about 4 times. And then I drove a Ferrari around the map.
Ooh.
That's my favorite, is that Ferrari has like, look, we need to put our freaking cars in that game. So Gen Zers know when they maybe get more money than the millennials eventually.
Yeah.
They can get themselves a nice car.
Yep. Mr. Ferrari, Enzo himself came down from the heavens and was like, oh, you want to be like a Tracy Chapman and drive a fast car?
Oh, man. Sorry, I haven't thought about Tracy Chapman in probably decades.
It's really a shame.
Hell of a pull.
Hell of a
really a hell of a pull. Like, all credit due to you. Anyway, the whole point of this topic was that we somehow got into a conversation about Fred Durst and Limp Bizkit.
Oh yes, yes we did.
I think it was only because I remember how it came up. It was just. I think when we were talking about music at one point, and we talked about nu metal in half a second, I can't remember if I brought it up or somebody else mentioned it, but I knew that they played Lollapalooza this year. And so when we were just hanging out in the evening, you guys brought it up on YouTube. And I remember that I didn't
you
look.
You guys?
Well, I say you guys because I wasn't paying attention when this happened. So, like, you and Mike, I think Mike searched for it.
Yeah, he did.
So, I'm not paying attention to the TV when this is happening. I'm just talking. And then I look over, and there's this guy who is so clearly a narc. Like, oh, yeah, he's the living embodiment of how are you doing, fellow kids? You know, mm-hmm. How do you do, fellow teens or whatever? And that's when I was like, wait. Who's that? And then I remember you were just like, no, that's Fred Durst. I was like, no, come on.
Yep. He got weird.
He did get weird. And then the worst part is, so we watched that. We watched some other clip of him. And then...
Oh, it was of... because I had never heard their cover of Faith.
Oh, right.
Somehow.
We had to play you the really god-awful cover of Faith.
Maybe that's how it started.
That's what it was. Yeah, because... I think I had mentioned that they did a cover of Faith earlier in the day, and then also mentioned, hey, they played Lollapalooza this year. That's wild.
Yeah, and then we brought it up.
Yeah. Well, the nice thing is that you guys left it there, to my knowledge. I then came home and then watched about half of the Lollapalooza performance.
Oh, jeez. I did very much leave it there.
Yeah, I'll say this. There is like about 15 minutes of it. I don't like all the music was god-awful. It was just as much as I remembered. What I will give him credit for is that 50-year-old Fred Durst sounds exactly like, what, 25, 30-year-old Fred Durst? He sounds exactly the same.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy that he can keep that up.
Yeah, you keep that white voice up!
Yeah, exactly.
And then, ooh, look at the audio page one. Sorry about that.
He still wants to break stuff.
He does still want... But this is my favorite part. He's older now, so he can't break as much stuff as he did before because that will include his hip.
I was just going to say, he can break more things. It's just the bones in his body.
Exactly. It hurts him to break those things because watching him do his little, like, very stilted old man dancing to his old songs was my favorite thing in the world. Mm. And then I got about three songs in. I was like, right, these are all awful.
Yep.
Yep. And that was good. And then that cured me of it.
There's a reason why people make fun of him now.
Yep. I mean, there was no doubt in my mind that was still a thing.
Yep.
Definitely still thought it was ridiculous, but it was just like, first it was just like, oh, all right. I mean, at least he's not.
It was like a novelty.
Yeah, it was just like, oh, he knows what he is now. Yeah. But then I was just like, nah, this is still trash.
It's still bad. It was just bad.
Yeah.
That's sort of
what the novelty had already worn off at that point. So, I guess I'm happy that, you know, whatever, he seems happy and that he was at least encouraging people to get vaccinated and has canceled shows where COVID outbreaks were bad. So at least he's responsible about it.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I'll give him that. It's just weird. I
would not have expected it from him, let's say.
Yeah, I did show my wife that clip, and she is someone that used to do hair and makeup in the theater. She has worked at Regional Productions. She has done the hair of Taylor Dane, 80s one hit wonder, in a Regional Production of Cats.
Nice.
So I just really wanted to point that out. It's my favorite story she has. Anyway, so she knows hair and she knows wigs. I showed her that clip and she immediately went, "That's a wig." I'm like, really? She's like, it has to be a wig because there's no part. There's no natural part. If it was real hair, you would see a place where it would part naturally. But it's all just kind of this matted mass of hair. She's like, that's fake. I said, okay.
So not even hair plugs or anything like that.
Yeah. Now, I have since seen a photo of him like a week before where it looked a little more natural, but I'm going to stick with her opinion that it's fake.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah. All right, I think I've cleansed that out of my body. I just needed to talk about it.
Yeah, a little detox. It always helps.
I mean, it kind of sets the scene. Well, I would say it sets the scene, but Halo Reach kind of came out way after the new metal.
Right. But Halo. But still itself. A trip down memory lane.
Right, exactly. And I mean, Halo itself started in the middle of all that.
It's true.
So.
It's true.
Thank God we never got. Thank God they didn't license songs.
Yeah.
Can you imagine having like a Korn song on a Halo soundtrack?
No.
Yeah.
I could not imagine. I mean, the closest they got, I guess, was Steve Vai as the guitar player.
Right. I guess they did do that.
I mean, that's still. He sort of just was in the symphonic
realm. Right. That's still. Realm. Still heads and shoulders. That's.
Yeah, it's taller. Much better.
Yeah.
Much better.
Oh, okay. Got that out of my system. I feel better now.
Segway.
So now we get to the task at hand.
Yes.
So last month we mentioned and we revealed that we are doing Halo Reach, which, while not technically the first Halo game, is now canonically the first Halo game.
Mm-hmm.
And you can blame the fact that I have the PC version and they reshuffled all the games to make Halo Reach now the first one you play.
So yes.
That's why we're playing this one first. Instead of doing it in order. But it's fine. We're doing Halo Reach today.
I mean, we love a good canonical playthrough.
This is that's true.
Just what we do.
It is, and we're doing a much better job with this series because we're at least starting in canonical order, where Metal Gear, we're just like, we're going to start on 2 and then jump all the way around.
And then just see what happens.
Yeah, I didn't even go in like release order with that one, which I should have.
Yeah, oh well. We've righted the ship. And
that's true, yeah.
We can do canonical now.
Yep, we're going to do the canonical Halo series from time to, you know, we'll be jumping in and out of the series.
Mm-hmm.
But let's start with Reach, which... Reach is the only one. So before we get into the actual intro and the grander conversation about it, just to kind of give my background with Halo, this is the only one that I've finished story-wise. It was... I played a good bit of the multiplayer. I had Halo 2 because I got my Xbox 360 right around the time when people were still doing Halo lands. It's like... just on the tail end of that, so I got like 2 or 3 of those in before, so I had to get to 360, and that was about it. I never owned 3 in any capacity.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was at GameStop, I checked out ODST for like a couple days. That was it. Never played 4 because 4 was on Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
And that is it. Then, oh yeah, I bought a Halo Anniversary. Never finished it.
Yeah.
That was tough.
Yep.
But we'll get, I have to do that one next, so I suppose we'll figure that out. But yeah, what about you? What you played way more Halos.
I played them all. With the exception of, I guess, ODST and the 5, the most recent one before Infinite, I guess, which is going to drop pretty soon.
Yeah, that is true. It is now available for pre-download on my Xbox app.
Yep. Yeah, I'll probably have to do that at some point. But I played through the first 3 and Reach in co-op with friends from high school.
Mm-hmm.
And college, and or with a friend from high school and college, but I didn't own them on my own because I didn't have an original Xbox until like way after like Halo first came out. But I do remember playing it for the first time and being like, wow, I get it. Like, these controls are weird, but they make a lot of sense. Like, after a little bit, they made a lot of sense. And I just remember, like, pretty much immediately really loving it, like falling in love with it. And I'm not like a first person shooter person, not really into that kind of stuff. I'm not very good at them. But I really loved those. Yeah, and then when Halo, they finally made Halo for the PC like several years after the original, and at that point I had like a GameCube. Maybe I didn't even have the GameCube yet, but I think I did. But obviously like couldn't play Halo on that, so I got it for the PC and played through it again just on my own. Then loved it. It was cool because like then like all the multiplayer maps, they had a few more multiplayer maps on there on the PC version, and some like modded kind of stuff and whatever. So it was cool. But then, yeah, just a lot of like LAN parties and that kind of stuff. So I was definitely big into it. I read The Fall of Reach, the first novel.
Oh, yeah.
And then I think that's the only one I read, but it was also pretty good. But yeah, so there's I am Halo, especially the first 2 Halos, very near and dear to my heart.
Yeah.
But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about Reach.
We don't even get to talk about the Master Chief yet.
We don't.
Nope. But real quick before I jump into that, speaking of novelizations, this is a quick plug for Extra Life. I have in my possession now volumes 1 and 2 of Death Stranding, the novelization.
I can see volume two right here.
Yeah, I'm probably maybe a quarter of the way into the first one. But look, I'm reading these books. But you won't hear a word of it unless we got to reach that goal.
Yep.
And we got about another month and a half to do it. So if you want to help the kids at Penn State Health Children's Hospital and also force me to have to give a live book report and a marathon.
and force me to have to sit and listen to it.
Yep. You have to hear about dooms and have to hear about repatriates.
All those things.
Well, the act of being repatriated.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was a big long word for the phobia of being touched that I cannot remember off the top of my head. Anyway, if you want me to continue talking about that, or at least to watch me suffer through it and help some kids at the Penn State Health Children's Hospital, head on over. Check the link in the description. It will be easier this way. But the link is bit.ly/ps-extra-life-2021. That'll take you to the Extra Life page. We are trying to hit $1,500 in donations before the end of October, and I will do this report. We already have $351, so we're off to a good start.
We're getting there.
We are off to a good start, so help us hit there and force me to do this ridiculous. Also, I need motivation because it's real hard. I'm reading this book, and it's not easy.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So far... Turns out whenever you read novelizations of things, sometimes it's just the events of the thing that you play or watch written in words.
Oh.
With no extra additions.
Oh.
There's one new character so far.
Oh.
See, I can't. See, this is just a preview. I'll give you more. I have notes.
If you liked what you heard, donate.
Trust me. It will probably take an hour.
Oh, jeez.
Maybe. I could talk about it for an hour. Let me just say that. I don't know how long it will take. It could take an hour. Wow. That's how much I could talk about this.
That's insane.
It's just so much. Oh, but look, let's talk about it. Good. Let's talk.
I mean, I'll try to do a dramatization. Wow.
Ooh, there you go.
You're reading.
There's some. Well, we are going. I'm going to pull out some quotes.
Do you think we could get Morgan Freeman to narrate?
I really doubt it.
Okay.
Well, I really doubt he would be at all interested.
I mean, I don't know.
No, but I do want to pull some like scenes that you and I can read.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah. So.
Look, I mean, like.
But this only happens. People donate.
I mean, March of the Penguins, Death Stranding.
I mean, he got Guillermo del Toro's face.
He could do it.
Who knows?
He could do it.
He did get
Conan O'Brien.
Yeah, Conan's in it. And there's other people I can't remember right now. So
Norman Reedus.
Oh, yeah, of course. Norman Reedus. Character. That's the big one.
Yeah.
Duh. Anyway.
Okay, back to it.
Let's talk about a not Kojima game. Yep. Now let's get into it. It's time to dive back, or I guess ahead.
Or should we say, reach back.
Ooh.
Into the vault.
Sorry, I had a different one in my head. Can't say that one. Let's reach into the future and discover the world of Halo Reach.
Ooh.
Chatbot. Transmitting visual. You've seen this cat?
Confirmed. Receiving Nova 3 and Nova 6 live visual of a Covenant strike force.
It's no strike force. It's an invading army. If we're gonna smother this thing, we need to go in hard and fast.
Agreed. All recon teams, disengage and fall back. Then we'll be up in a few hours, and it's going to be a very busy day.
I knew you were gonna do it. I was trying to remember it in my head too. Like, how's that song go? All
right. That's about all we can do before.
Yep, and that's all we got
before we get taken.
We got our DCMA taken. Yeah. So Halo Reach originally released in September of 2010 on the 14th. Switching it up now. I'm doing month, year, then date.
Ooh.
Gotta switch it up every once. Yeah. Keep you on your toes.
Getting British here.
That's right. This is a fun one because, of course, it's been re-released about, like, what, four times? Well, three times, technically.
A bunch because
it was originally released on the Xbox 360. And then the Xbox One edition of Halo the Master Chief Collection came out on November 11th, 2014. And that included Reach. And then the PC version of the Master Chief Collection was released on December 3rd, and it started with Reach, so that was the first one they released. Because they did a weird, like, broken release of the Master Chief Collection on PC.
I think they even did it on the Xbox, too.
Oh, is that how they did it there?
Yeah, because I had to when I replayed it this time around, I had to download it as DLC.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I think it was the same thing. Or it was like a patch to unlock, sort of.
Yeah, it situation. Is. It's really weird too, because like on the PC one, it's not. I think so. I bought it on Steam, which makes it more complicated. If I would have bought it, just done like the Xbox app version, the Windows App Store version, I would have just been able to download it from the Xbox app individually.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with the Steam one, you have to launch the game, go in, and then download it, and then it triggers a Steam download of the other games. So it's not, I can't like go into the menu and just say download 3, download 4.
Right. You got to do it.
I have to do it in the app, and then it's like, all right. It's not that big of a pain, but.
I mean, it's a huge game.
Oh, they're all like.
That collection, I guess massive. I should say. Yeah.
Yeah. That whole collection takes up, I think it took up almost a quarter of my 1 terabyte drive.
Well, I thought it was something like 140 gigs or something, the whole thing. Yeah,
it took a lot. I don't even have all of it downloaded.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Because you can choose to have campaign, you can have a campaign only, multiplayer only, of each of the games.
That's cool.
So that is kind of helpful.
Yeah.
But I think I downloaded multiplayer. I haven't touched it.
Yeah, I don't anymore.
The people who play anymore are the diehards, and I'm not good to be good with anyways. So.
Yeah, I've played once. I feel like I'll play once a year. Mm-hmm. And it's only to see myself get decimated, annihilated. And I mean, I've never been good, but like I'm surely not good.
Yeah, it's weird. Like I have it on PC. I can play it with mouse and keyboard, and I did a little bit, but I mostly play it with the controller when I did story mode because it's like, come on, this is how I played it. I played a little bit of it originally.
Yeah,
it makes more sense to me to do it this way.
Yep,
and it doesn't hurt my wrists. But, yeah, there's no doubt if I played multiplayer with a controller on the PC one, I would just get annihilated every time.
Yep.
I mean, I already do.
Yeah.
Maybe that should be the this is my baseline before we get any further, is that when I played Halo, I was awful. I was the dirt worst.
Yeah.
Yep. I always came in last. The only weapon I was kind of good with was the Needler, and even then I felt like I just got a couple lucky shots in.
Yeah,
because he would like get them and it takes that extra second to do the extra damage.
Yeah,
and so like they would kill me, but then I would get like the revenge kill.
Yeah,
that would be about the only one I'd get.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, so I have a I already come from a place with Halo where it is a stressful event for me, so I'm not good at it. So I wanted it to be a better experience. I was hoping for that with Reach. So let's just kind of cover like what is Halo in terms of gameplay, which at this point I don't even know. I'm pretty sure I don't need to explain it, but just to keep the format of the show going, it's a first-person shooter. It was one of the ones on the Xbox that made first-person shooters kind of a thing that could work on consoles. I'm sure there's other games out there that nerds will be like, well, actually, this was before Halo. And that's great, but Halo made it popular.
Yeah, and certainly the twin stick, like, Yeah.
Yeah. Although, coming back to it, I forgot
that... Not twins. That's a different thing, but you know what I mean.
I know what you had. The dual, just the having 3D... The standard 3D shooter controls.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Halo kind of made them default. But as I learned coming back to this, they have evolved a little bit since Halo. And that, like... Halo doesn't do left trigger to aim and right trigger to shoot. It does right trigger to shoot, but it does click the stick to aim.
Yep.
And I can't tell you how many times I threw grenades.
Yep, same. Yeah, to the point where I had to switch the controls.
Yeah, I should have did that.
Yeah, I just did it. I was like a mission or two in, and I was finally just like, nah, I got to do it because my brain's not switching.
Yeah.
So...
I force myself to like remap the controls in my head, and I would rather, whatever reason, I just don't think like, yes, every game nowadays lets you remap the controls for this reason.
Yeah.
Do I do it? No.
I mean, normally I don't. I sort of just let it go and remember it, but for whatever reason, like this was just, I could not get past it.
Yeah.
And so I had to flip.
I think Call of Duty came along and that became this is the de facto shooter set.
Yeah.
And every game since then has done that. Mm-hmm. And so Halo is like 90% that, but the couple buttons they've switched around are really weird.
They are very annoying.
Yeah. So this game, because it was a prequel to Halo, got rid of the dual wielding that was in the series that came after Halo.
Mm-hmm.
It was after the original Halo. So I think it was 2 added dual wielding.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was because I remember that had it. So because they wanted this to be the prequel to Halo, no dual wielding. This was the game too where they added abilities like armor lock, hologram, evade, jetpack, most annoyingly, sprint.
Yes.
So that means you not only couldn't just sprint all the time, but if you swapped it out, you just didn't sprint anymore.
Yeah, because, you know, super soldiers obviously can't, who are like bred to, and, you know.
Genetically modified child soldiers.
Yep.
I don't know if these ones are child soldiers. I assume
they
came
through, yeah, like an academy as children. So, yes, they are child soldiers.
I'm going to trust your grasp of the greater Halo universe knowledge over mine. Because mine I just got from the Unraveled video.
Well.
Of all the Halo novels.
Yeah, that's not a bad place to gain the knowledge.
Yeah. But I only absorbed about 10% of that.
there's a lot going on there.
There is.
That's for sure.
Yeah, that ability, the swapping ability sounded like a good idea. But having sprint be one of them was so frustrating.
Yeah, I think maybe that is the most frustrating part. Because I mean, the abilities in general just annoy me. It's just one more thing I have to think about, and mm-hmm. I don't want to. So, yeah, like the armor lock or whatever. I ended up just, I mean, there were times when you had to have a jetpack, so I would use the jetpack. Fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest, pretty much the rest of the time, I just kept my sprint one because I wanted to be able to run through different areas. And even then, you can't run through it for very long.
Nope. That sprint doesn't last very long.
Yep. And it's super annoying.
Yep.
So, and that's one thing I think is interesting is that they included it there and then it's gone for like the next 3 games.
Oh, they didn't bring it back in 4?
I don't remember if it's in 4 or not now that I'm thinking about it, but I want to say no. I could be wrong, though. But it certainly isn't in 1 through 3. So, like,
oh, yeah, no,
that must have been a prototype that they were just using on the...
we're talking canonical
story. Noble team.
it worked out, then, if they didn't bring it back for 4, because they were like, God, this thing was awful. We're abandoning this.
It's easy to, because they annihilated everyone on Reach.
Yep. Spoiler alert. Everyone dies.
Everyone dies. Yep.
And is why.
If you didn't know that already.
There was actually a lot of times where I was playing this game and I would get frustrated by abilities and I'm like, well, no wonder everyone dies. They're awful.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, there's a couple moments, we're going to get to them, that had me incredibly frustrated, but I don't want to just get to that right away. I will say playing the PC version, you know, not to brag, but I get 120 frames a second. And boy, does it look real nice when you crank up that frame rate and you just let the halo happen.
Yeah, I bet. It is a pretty game. I think it's interesting too, and maybe this is sort of just like a Bungie style, art style, is that like they sort of keep that, or they sort of have kept that, like, old school 3D blockiness to a lot of like their buildings and like some of the textures in like the landscape.
I know what you mean.
Which I think is interesting, but it's still like all the backgrounds like look painted and stuff. It looks like, you know, like an old school movie or something where, you know, the background is all painted and sort of like you can kind of tell it's like a little hazy or like, I don't know, like wipey. That's like a weird, I don't know how to say or how to describe that, but and though they look gorgeous, those backgrounds, and I even like, especially toward like the end of the game where like shit's really going down.
Oh yeah.
And like there's, you can see like, you know, like the explosion sort of flashing and stuff through like a bunch of clouds and like haze, and there's like red behind it just all in the background. It was gorgeous. I really like forgot about how pretty all that looked.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember like how much of this looked this good on the 360 version.
Yeah.
And how much was this like retooled in the Master Chief Collection?
Yeah.
It really, yeah, there are some moments where you're just like, oh yeah. Especially like those moments where you get into a battle and the music kicks in.
Yeah.
Those are like the closest to Halo Zen.
Yeah, that's like quintessential Halo.
Yeah, that's when I feel like I've had those moments playing it this time around where the music would kick in, there's a battle going off, and things are clicking in a way for me that I'm just like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
That's why people play this game.
Yeah.
And then we got to some other segments, and I was just like, why does anyone like this?
Yeah. Yep.
I did play a little bit of keyboard and mouse, but I had to switch back to controller because it just felt better for me. Yeah. Keyboard and mouse are great, though. I mean, if I didn't have such bad like RSI, I would probably play more keyboard and mouse with this because it just, especially for multiplayer, I'd probably be better.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm trying to see if there's any general notes about the gameplay. I mean, it's like at this point, it really is one of those games where you just go, it's like when other games play like this, you just go, well, it's like Halo. People know what it feels like to play Halo. It's like all that went into Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why even as much as like, I don't really love Destiny 2 that much, I still load it up from time to time because I get a little bit of that Halo gameplay, but evolved in a way that I like.
Yeah.
And you know what Destiny 2 has? Sprinting. Yay. All the time. You can just sprint.
You can just sprint.
And you can also pay them a lot of money for content that you don't will probably never finish. But that's another note for another one.
That's how they get you.
Every time.
Every time.
But this is another one where I don't have like beat by beat notes of the story, especially like the first half of the story feels like a blur to me, but there are specific events in the game that I have notes on that I think we can talk about and move forward with.
Mm-hmm.
So we do know that story wise this is of course the first in the series, so it takes place before Master Chief is around. So you play as Noble Six, who is a member of the Noble Team, and they are fighting against the Covenant invasion on Reach, which, hence Halo Reach. And it is late summer of 2552.
So, what a great year. It's
a fine year. It's a fine vintage.
Fine vintage.
Well, maybe not fine vintage.
Well, yeah.
Not if you're on Reach.
If you're into sort of a smoky, you know, carbony taste in your wine.
Yeah. Depends. How much of your surroundings do you want to be on fire?
Yeah. How do you feel about the overall terroir of... a planet being decimated.
How much of your friends and family would you be willing to sacrifice to an alien invasion to call it a bad year?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
How many need to die before you're like, it's not that great?
Yeah, that's very true. That's
and these are what we find out on Reach.
Yeah, these are the tough questions that get answered.
Yeah. So Reach
all for that tail.
Oh man. So this is the little bit of info I have about Reach, and that is a one sentence description. That's all I need. Reach is a human colony that served as the nexus for the United Nations Space Command, the UNSC, which is an acronym you will hear a lot of in the other Halo games.
Mm-hmm. Yep, this is where like all of the child soldiers were trained and modified and all of that stuff.
So to touch on that, the way I understand it, based off of that Unraveled video and other Halo media, is that the children are taken, they're cloned,
mm-hmm.
the clones are returned to the families, and the children they took are the ones that they then genetically modify and turn into soldiers.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Okay. By the way, I don't mention this anywhere in this game.
Nope.
Just know that is now an undercurrent of all of the Halo games. It makes them far more sinister to me.
Yep.
Especially when most of them are just rah-rah, look what we did, we defeated the aliens. But yeah, but at what cost?
Yeah, right.
You're losing your humanity. Bigger picture question. I guess we can answer that maybe with Halo.
It's sort of like an Ender's Game situation.
Right. Maybe that's what Halo 4 is all about. Yeah. I don't know. Or Halo 5 even.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah. Who knows? I never got
Spoiler
there.
Spoiler alert. It's not 4. It's not. But
it's not 4. I didn't think it was. I doubt they probably ever get to that part.
I don't think they ever circled back.
I don't think they're going to get that deep into
it. Yeah, John was not all about that.
Nope. But no John here, just you are Noble Six. There's, let me see if I didn't actually write down the other members of the team. I remember there's Cat.
It's Cat.
Cat's pretty cool. Is it Emile?
Yep.
Emile's one?
The best one. George.
Yep.
George is the best.
I don't remember George at all.
he's the first one to go.
Okay.
The big gunner. And I,
yeah,
he's the one I really just wish would have stayed along for a little longer, because mm-hmm. I think he was the best character, like, in terms of, well, Cat too, but like in terms of developed characters.
You know what, you're right, it is George, because it's spelled.
Like Jorge.
Spelled Jorge, because I did stream part of me playing this.
Oh, nice.
So you can check out my Twitch page, twitch.tv/PanicSwitch.
Shameless plug.
If you want to see me really struggle with the mission. I was not having a good time that night.
Yeah.
But yeah, he did I remember he sacrificed himself. And I was like, is it George or Jorge? And then later on, they're like, George made an ultimate sacrifice.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's. And then there's two other ones. Because there's six. Wait, there's...
Well, the commander. I can't remember his name.
The commander.
Noble One.
Uno. Uno and Dos.
And then is it just Noble Five? I don't know.
Maybe.
The other one might just not have a name. I can't remember. But anyway.
Sir not appearing in this game.
Sir not appearing in this game. I think that's sort of part of the problem with this is that it, I mean, I get, like, they hit the beats of the story. They hit what they need to, you know.
Oh,
like,
I mean, that first part is the most Halo-ass Halo.
Yeah.
Which is how I kept describing it to other people.
Oh, yeah.
What's Halo Reach? It's a Halo-ass Halo game.
Yep. You know, everything is sort of okay. People are on, like, a normal, you know, there's been a disturbance. sort of mission, and then shit goes down. But yeah, I guess what I'm really getting at is that a lot of those characters weren't really fleshed out very much. Like Emil's character has all like the scratches in his faceplate. Oh, he's and he has one, all the knives and stuff. And like, you're like, man, you want a story about him.
Right.
You want a trajectory here.
He's the one that had the Gears of War logo scratched into his helmet. Yeah,
exactly. And then he just sort of, I mean, he's just there the whole time. Like, Kat is a little more developed. Mm-hmm. I liked her story. George, you feel for him pretty much immediately because he is the best developed character.
Yeah.
And then he dies. And then they sort of just don't develop anybody else.
Yeah.
No, which is sort of the annoying part. And I, like you as Noble Six, you're like the best pilot that ever was to pilot.
Yeah.
And then that's about it. But you're really fucking good at stuff. I don't know. Like,
that's a really good point because I remember. So jumping ahead in story, doesn't matter. There's a point where you have to deliver. You have to make a delivery. I'll just say that. Delivery is an AI. Wonder who that could be. Yeah. We'll get to it. We all know who it is.
She could be part of your Windows 10 system.
Who knows? She could be on your phone. Your Windows phone.
Yeah.
She could do searches for you and have quips about Master Chief. But there's a part where I'm trying to remember who's the last one that dies before 6.
Yeah, well, that might be 5.
That might be 5. I just remember that they're like, oh, the AI requested that you take them. And I remember that 5 or whoever just goes, yeah, I was right. She was right to pick you. And it's like, but how? There was no story developed other than like, boy, I guess I survived all these guns.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. I agree. Like Dr. Halsey, I think, like, looks at you, but that's about it. Like, there's not really a, and at the end of the day, it's not even 6 that gets her.
Right. Yeah. They don't really develop the characters. I will say this, and this might be giving far more credit than is due, because I feel like this is making an excuse for their lack of story.
Yeah.
I feel like the first half of the game sets your expectation of, hey, this is just another Halo-ass Halo game. And you're going to be rah-rah killing the aliens and you're going to save the day.
Mm-hmm.
But then whenever you hit Long Night of Solace, that's the mission where the shit hits the fan.
Yep.
And that's when George has to sacrifice himself
June.
Because they go to the that's Covenant Corvette.
June. George is Noble 5. Whoops.
Oh. 5 is out early.
Yeah, Noble 3. June. He was the last one.
Okay.
Or Jun.
Yeah, they rarely say his name.
Yeah, right. Anyway.
But, yeah, so you get to the Covenant Corvette, I think is what they said.
Mm-hmm.
Which immediately in my head, I just thought they had like a like a space Corvette, like a convertible.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's like a bomb on that ship. You have to go and disarm it, you have to put the bomb.
Yeah,
onto the ship.
So
they drop the bomb off.
Right. The point was for it to. Like the thought was that the Corvette was going to be going back to the home world, I believe is correct, is how it is. So they put like a jump drive and a bomb in there,
mm-hmm.
so that it would send it back to the Covenant home world, blow up,
yeah,
and kill a bunch of shit there.
Right. Just to let you know, we didn't really skip much in the way at the beginning.
Nope.
Really, the first like half of the story is just go here and destroy these aliens, go here and fight them, go here and fight them.
Yeah,
that's it. It's really not until this part that they're like, oh, we have a plan now.
Yeah.
Although it's not going well.
Right. Yeah, because it's sort of like, oh, there's just like a rogue group, they're coming, they're trying to like do something, or not rogue group, but just like this is a skirmish.
Yeah.
And then it sort of unfolds as like a, oh no, this is an all-out like call to war.
Yeah, and but that's what the first three or four fights are. It's like you go and you take out this little patch of Covenant, but ultimately they are just stomping. They're just taking over Reach. They're just making their way through.
They're sort of just distractions for the actual thing that's about to happen.
Right. And you get allusions to this because, you know, you often get these big wide sweeping shots of just like shit blowing up.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, that looks bad.
Yeah.
We're still alive.
Ruh-roh.
I guess that's good.
Yeah.
Long Night of Solace. So that's where the story picks up. You go onto the ship. And then there's something about, so I don't know if the jump drive fails. I know the bomb isn't going off, like the timer isn't going off right or something.
Yeah.
And so
it's like in the commotion, something gets disrupted, like the auto.
Oh, right.
Sort of self-detonation.
Yeah. So they need someone to manually detonate it. And everybody, I'm trying to remember, a lot of people die there, but it's like a lot of just like nameless UNSC people.
Mm.
So it's just like, ugh, and fall. And then, you know, you get like another wave to help back you and George up. But it's not until you get to the end of that mission that George is like, I gotta detonate it. I gotta, me and my Gears of War helmet have to stay behind.
Yeah.
But it's done. I like that part a lot. I think that was done really well because then Six has to put a suit on and basically get heaved out
of
the Corvette. And
George
just
shoves him out.
Fall from space onto a planet, which I don't even know how he broke orbit. I don't really understand that part.
But remember, they can't sprint.
You can't run fast.
You can fall through the atmosphere and land on Earth.
He can't sprint. He can hit terminal velocity. Hit the ground with all that speed.
Slam into the earth.
Fine. Can't do a bit of a jog.
You can't run. Running right out.
Nope. Not unless he picks up that pack that makes his legs work a little bit faster. Nope, that's it.
Just overclock his legs.
That's right. They had to overclock the seal a little bit to get that speed up.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, the falling from the space part is great. You know, you just sort of, they go to first person for that and you just see the ship explode and you're just falling. That was really well done. I like that bit a lot.
Yeah.
I
think that's like where, and they sort of touch on it later, but that's where like sort of the human parts of this come out, I think, is where like, you know, George did that thinking, I've just saved humanity, right? He died.
Oh, yeah. And of course, as soon as that happens, 20 other Covenant ships come through. Yeah,
that was sort of the beacon, almost like the calling beacon. Because I think that ended up being what happened is like that either allowed them to like break back through or something happened essentially that allowed all of those ships to come. Or it was just a ruse, really.
Right. Yeah. Because it was almost immediate. It was like blowed up the ship. Six is falling back down to Reach, and you're like, oh, he did it. And then they cut back up, and you just see 20 Covenant ships come through, and you're like, oh, man, that was for nothing. Which, for a Halo game, is pretty great.
Yeah.
Because even then, though, like, it's still early enough where you're like, well, this could turn around.
Yeah.
So this next part was, I liked the story aspect of it. Playing through it was a bit of a pain. It's Exodus. That's the name of the level. And that's where Six has to go solo and reconvene with the rest of his UN, with the rest of Noble Six, which at this point is Noble Five.
Uh-oh.
Or Noble Four? No, Five. It's still Five. Yeah. So you land and then you have to like fight your way back through. I cannot tell you how many times. Every once in a while, Halo has to remind me that it is better than me.
Yeah.
And there will be times when I'm running through a building or something and I get picked off by one of those little small bastards.
The jackals, yeah.
Yep. With the
with the
sticky
shields?
Grenades.
Oh, those grenades. The grunts, yeah.
Grunts, thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
One of them will get me a sticky grenade, or I will get one with a shield and just like I'm not paying attention and it'll just hit me in the back of the head, like one shot me with something.
Yeah.
And then of course, the checkpointing is all over the place with Halo.
Yeah.
So sometimes you're like, okay, I'm right back to where I was. And then other times I'm like, cool, I just lost 10 minutes.
Yep. Yep. And it's sort of bizarre. Like, I feel like you have to hit like an exact spot somewhere on the, like in the area that you're in for you to get that checkpoint. Cause there have been times where like I've had to, there were times where I had to restart like way back, like 5 times in a row, only to die a 6th time. And then somehow I get to start right where I died.
Yeah. It's like only certain parts of the path have the checkpoint.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's if very you miss strange. It, forget it. Yeah. Who cares?
Very strange.
Yeah. That one. Yeah. So that one's mostly like on foot through buildings and stuff. It's kind of neat. But yeah, some of the battles were a pain, especially when you get to like the big guys with the hammers.
Yeah.
Whew. I died to a couple of them. That, after that one, you meet up with the rest of Noble Six. Yeah, at the end of that mission. Is that the one where... Because the next level is New Alexandria, and I think that's part of like the helicopter one.
Yes.
Okay. It was like you would hop in a helicopter, take some stuff out in the air, and then...
Yeah, you'd land... Because you had to unjam like 3 different... systems or 3 different like radars.
Yeah. One thing before I forget though, I just remembered back at Long Night of Solace, you do get the space dog fight level.
Yes.
I really like that.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was like my favorite. That was
I
one
died
of my favorite.
A lot, but it was fun.
I didn't do too bad.
Yeah.
That one I didn't do too bad.
We should also say you were playing on easy.
Oh, no, I play on normal. I don't play... You play on heroic. Higher. Yeah, you play on heroic. I just play on standard ass.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you definitely play on a harder difficulty than I do.
Yeah.
And I still get my ass slapped.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know if I'll do it the next time. I don't know. Because that's sort of just the difficulty that I remember. But again, most of the time I played through these games, I played with somebody else. So, yeah. That changed things. Although I did play with somebody else through on like Legendary for a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just stupid hard. But
yep.
We wanted to get those special secret endings that were like 10 seconds longer, but
ooh.
They were a good time.
That was before YouTube.
Yep.
Where you could just go.
Where you could just
secret ending.
Yeah. Just see what it looked like.
Yep.
Anyway, I digress.
Yeah. Also, I should mention no skulls on.
Yeah,
I'm not doing any of that shit.
I didn't do any of that either.
Doing this for the story. This is not for glory.
Yep.
But yeah, I knew there was a note about a dog. I had a note about that dog fight, and I just wanted to mention. I love that.
Yeah, yeah, loved it was a good level. Time. Yeah,
real fun. The helicopter level where you had to keep jumping out and jump back in, less fun.
Yeah,
did not care for it as
much.
I was
gonna say maybe one of my least favorite.
Oh, I can't remember.
Well, actually, no. Now that I say that, there were some others that I really.
Yeah, so I think I don't think it was a part of New Alexandria. The one after that is Pillar of Autumn.
That's the last level.
That is essentially the last level. Although if you play the PC one, they for whatever reason make the last two parts like 3 separate levels.
Yes, they did that in mine too.
They're 5-minute videos each. Yeah. They're not even much. You don't do anything. So Pillar of Autumn is when. You have to make your way to the Pillar of Autumn. This is the part that drove me up a wall. Is that I'm all on board with Halo doing these moments where you get to a place and you have to do gunfights. What Halo is bad at is these big open tank battles.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
So that you'll hit these parts where you have to go... And do like gunfights at a base and kill all the Covenant there, take them all out, and then move on. But sometimes you have these intermittent bits where you have to get on a vehicle and then avoid these big tanks that can not only one-shot you, but then you have other Covenant on gunners that can one-shot you. And then there's just one guy with like a weird sniper thing that can one-shot you.
Mm-hmm.
I spent, and this is on that stream, I spent 45 minutes
Holy
just shit. Trying to get through that tank part. Ugh. In Pillar of Autumn. I probably I'm frustrated. I'm so mad. It was the least fun. All I wrote was just open tank combat equals bad. That's all I have in my notes.
Yeah.
For that. It was awful.
Yeah, those are not fun.
The checkpointing was the worst I've seen, because there's one point in particular that's on the stream that you can see where I would get I would get reasonably far in, die, and it would take me all the way back to the beginning of the part where I killed the base and I have to go through it all again. And I found out during this part, and this is on the stream too, and I thought it was I was so mad, but it was hilarious at the same time. The AI are worthless.
Mm.
Completely worthless. My squad mates were in other ghosts, or not ghosts, because ghosts are, that's
Covenant.
No, it was ghosts. Sorry, I was thinking Destiny 2, but Ghost is the name of the little robot guy.
Oh.
The ghosts, the little Covenant hover ships.
Yeah.
They're in one each. I am, after about four times of going in alone and dying, I went back to look. One guy is completely on the other end of the map. He never got into a ghost and came along. So he's just stuck back. The other guy is waiting to go over the hill where I kept getting annihilated. And I realized, he's never coming with me. So I literally went on my ghost and pushed him over the hill. It's like, no, you're coming with me.
Yeah.
He fired about three shots and then went back. So he never helps until you, clear out 90%, and then he shows up. He doesn't do anything, but he shows up a little bit further.
A coward.
It was, oh my God, I was yelling at the game so much. It's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Why even give me teammates if you're just going to do this to them?
Yeah, they are very, very expendable.
Completely expendable and completely worthless.
Yep.
It's like you might, and then, you know, you get one shot at all the time because they have bigger weapons than you do.
Mm-hmm.
I hated that part so much.
I did I think it's at the end of the jamming, which this is going back to the story. Something I thought of. I liked at the end of that, the level where you were flying around and unjamming the radars. I don't remember the name of it now.
That one was okay. That one didn't have the tank combat.
So yeah.
You were on a vehicle, but ultimately you would just drive up to a base and then hop out.
Yeah, and for that whatever reason, it was just kind of annoying to me. I think it was more just it didn't really feel like a sense of urgency there. You were sort of just like, well, let's hop in and drive over to this other place and do this other thing. And I get you were trying to unjam the radars, that was important, but it was just it just didn't feel like there was a sense of urgency there. There wasn't an onslaught of people coming or whatever. Mm-hmm. Everything seemed sort of separate from what you were doing.
Yeah. The story dictates that you need to hurry, but the gameplay does nothing to encourage you. Yeah.
That's a good way to describe it.
Yeah. No, I felt the same way, because I was like, shouldn't there be a timer?
Yeah, or that's exactly what I was thinking.
Waves of
too.
Enemies or something. Nope, it's just you do the Halo until you get to the next part, and then more Halo happens.
Yeah, exactly.
I hate that that's the main way I explain this game.
But it's kind of right.
The only times it's not Halo is when your crew dies, and you're like, uh-oh, this isn't right.
Yeah. So that's pretty much what I was getting at. When they unjam the radar, the communication systems or whatever, and you're all running to get to, you know, the next place you need to go to or whatever, and Kat just gets sucker sniped.
Yeah, she just gets sniped out of nowhere.
Yeah, that's another, they did a very good job of ending the lives of the few people that you cared about.
Right.
And then the captain gets he gets shot through the window of the Pelican. And so he and then he distracts and takes down the huge scarab thing, because he slams into it.
Right. Yeah.
All that stuff. So they did a good job of ending the lives of the people you cared about.
Mm-hmm.
The others,
I did feel bad about Kat's death, but at the same time, it's like, that it said it, your expectation is that if they're gonna die, they're gonna die some grand death, and it's like, no, she just gets sniped out of nowhere.
Yep, that's it.
Which you're like, oh man, that one, like, I remember when it happened this past time, I was like, oh man, I forgot about that.
Yeah, well, it's the same thing. I also forgot that's how she died. And it was still just like, oh, that was rough. That was a rough one.
Yeah.
George and Kat were the roughest ones.
Yep. Because, let's see, Carter, that's one of the other ones.
He's the captain.
Yeah, I have that he sacrifices himself during Pillar. Is that the scarab part you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay,
he's
good.
In the Pelican. He's in the plane.
Checking that off the list. So at this point, it's just...
It's you and June, I think, at that point.
Well, so I have that Six delivers the AI with... It's Cortana. Mm-hmm. It's just Cortana. We should mention that. It was Cortana the whole time.
Yeah.
Oh, big surprise. We all... Even as someone who only played two Halos... They're like, you have to deliver this AI. I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's Cortana.
It was.
You get the keys, and then that's like, ooh, that'll be in Halo.
Yep.
Look at that. Well, foreshadowing.
Yep. And the epilogue in Reach, when you see the Pillar of Autumn going toward Halo, and Cortana says, what does she say? Like, did you hear, is there any signal from them or something like that? And Keyes says no or whatever. Like that's what happens. That's the beginning scene of Halo 1. So they do a very job of, they show that epilogue and then the lone wolf mission happens.
Oh, I didn't get that.
So it's sort of like an in parallel.
That makes sense.
That's what's happening there.
So the end of Halo Reach is happening at the same time that Halo 1's kicking off.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I need to, whenever I start up Halo 1 again, because I did start it up just to see if it worked. I need to pay attention to that. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think that was cool. And it's like the final couple missions that I liked. I mean, they were hard. Like, Pillar of Autumn is hard.
Oh,
that was
hard.
A hard level.
The checkpointing is the worst in the whole game.
Yeah, it was annoying. The very last part of it where you have to get onto like the giant gun, like the gun and shoot out the... the little, I don't even know what those are called, but those Covenant dropships.
That's the one where you're basically at, like, the helipad.
You are. Yeah, yep. Yeah.
Okay.
I had to do that a billion times.
That one took, it didn't take me as long as, nothing will take me as long as that one.
Yeah.
The tank battle did. But that one did take me a couple times as well.
Yeah.
I have after that, so the delivery happens at the helipad. Six just gives, you know. And then I had that Emil dies by an energy sword then. Because I think Emil is with you.
Emil is with you until basically the end.
The end. And then he gets the energy sword to the gut.
Yes. I forgot about that.
Yep. Okay, yeah. And Six provides cover on the Mac cannon. So that's the part you're...
June. Yeah. You're right. But June's on it first.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when he was like, she was right to pick you.
That's the one, yeah.
Yeah,
I was about to pick you.
Yeah, and then
I'm gonna die now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you provide the can so they can get out with Cortana, and then Halo 1 begins.
You provide the cannon so they can come and you can deliver.
Oh, okay.
I believe that's how it is. Yeah. Either way, it's just yeah.
And. That's when you sort of get like the video part, and this is the only part of this game that I remember is this last part.
Yeah.
And I've played a lot of games and liked a lot of games, but for whatever reason this ending to this game stuck with me. Like, it was the only, whenever I thought, oh, we're gonna do Halo Reach, I immediately remember this.
Yep, same.
I love this part. I thought is like was the most interesting way a Halo game has ever ended of the ones I played.
Yep.
And to be fair, it's the one I finished, so who knows? Maybe they're all great.
Yeah.
But...
There's one in particular that is phenomenal.
Okay.
But...
I look forward to that one. There better not be open...
It's gonna be a few.
Open-field tank battles.
No. It is... You will love it.
Okay, good.
You will love it.
I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah.
After the video epilogue ends... that's Lone Wolf, and you are, it's just you as Six, everybody else is gone and you're left on Reach by yourself, and that your only mission at that point is survive.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever that pops up and it just says survive, like, you just get this cold shiver. I got a cold shiver on my back. I'm just like, oh man. So, you know, you run around the helipad, or you run around the base. Although I did find out this time there is a border. It basically becomes Halo multiplayer at this point.
Yeah.
Because I ran out of bounds at one point. It was like, return to the battlefield. Oh, that kind of broke the illusion a little bit.
Oops.
But yeah, you just try to take out as many Covenant as you can. And the more you take damage, like normally you would take damage and then the shield regenerates. But as you take damage this time, you still get the regens and stuff, but your shield starts to crack a little bit.
Yeah, your helmet, like the... Yeah, there are cracks in your helmet.
So, like, your view starts to get obstructed because you're taking hits. And then eventually, like, if you survive long enough, they just start ramping up the enemies.
Yeah.
And you just get annihilated. I didn't last... I think I probably lasted about 3 minutes, 3 or 4 minutes.
Lasted a lot... longer the first time I played it, like back when.
That's what I think.
This time, for some reason, I was like, I kept like screwing around with my weapons, and I died probably within 45 seconds. it was just, I don't know what was happening, but it was like pretty immediate. I died.
Yeah, I think I did better. I think that's the same way. I think I remember the first time around, I lasted a little bit longer, but not this time. Nope. Yep. I remember like the big guy showed up again with the hammers, and there was like two of them back to back, and I'm like, oh, I'm dead.
Yep.
And that's it.
Yep.
That is how this game ends.
Yep. Your helmet is just... Well, because, yeah, your helmet, he takes his helmet off.
Oh, yeah, you do get a little video.
Perspective of the helmet, you just see how Six... meets his demise. But
yeah, because you get a couple Covenant over, and I think like two or three just energy swords.
Yep.
And then it like fast forwards in time.
Yeah.
There's moss everywhere to show time has passed.
Yep.
And still see the helmet.
Your helmet's there. Just in time for humanity to come back.
Yep. Yeah. And that's nice. That is how that ends.
Nice foreshadowing.
Yeah, I think above all else, the way the ending of the game goes, I think it nails it. Especially for,
they
did set it up when that game came out. They're like, this is how Reach fell and how Halo 1 started.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, for them to have not really a whole lot else to go off of other than just... The Reach dies. So, like, I think they probably spent their most energy getting that part right.
Yep.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, the rest is just a Halo game.
Yeah.
I would say it's not even a Halo game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's, you have the weapons and, like, the enemies are there, obviously, but it's not as, like, gripping or the story's real. They play fast and loose with the story.
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah.
It's sort of just like an aimless, like, you got some missions and then you're done.
Yeah, I think that is a good way to describe it, though. It does sort of feel like they're like, look, we know we have this ending that leads into Halo. We have to get that right, because it's very back heavy, this game. The back part of the game is the good half, which I suppose if you're going to do it one way, I suppose that's a better way to do it. Although, for people like me, it made that beginning part real hard to get invested in.
Yeah, no, it's really true. And I think they probably knew that.
Yeah.
And that's why the scene with George happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, him sacrificing himself and then the dread of just all of those other ships coming. I think that was like in the early half of the game, that was certainly the hardest hitting part of the whole, the story. And that sort of kept you going until the end.
And I should say, too, like, this whole thing probably took, like, maybe 10 hours max.
Yeah, not very long.
It really only took, like, I got through it pretty quick. And I will say, like, Long Night of Solace is where everything picks up. And that's when I started writing down chapter names, because that's when I was like, oh, this is worth mentioning.
Yeah.
Because up until that point, it's just, go out there, Six, do the shooting. Boy, yeah. You're good at the shooting. Watch out for grenades.
A couple of those guys are going to run at you with grenades. A
couple of those grunts are going to come run at you like, wah!
Yeah. Not ideal. Yeah, so, yeah, I agree. I think that they do a much better job with the story in, like, the next games because there's just more content mm-hmm. with, you know,
and
just, yeah, all the factions involved and all that.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, too. This is the last one Bungie did.
Yes, it was.
Because 4 was when
3, 'cause I think 3, ODST 4, 3. Came out. ODST came out before Reach.
Yeah, it was 3 ODST, because I remember they were saying, like, well, we're going to release it as an expansion pack, but now it's kind of grew.
Yeah.
I.e., it was just long enough for us to charge more money for it.
Yeah.
And then they were like, oh, we're going to do Reach. And then Reach was like, we're done with Halo. Where 343 Industries has been set up. A couple of our people went over there to help with the story. But we're going to go do something else. And that's going to have a lot of ups and downs.
Yep.
But yeah, so that I remember I got it because it was the last one the Bungie was going to do. And I wanted to try that out. And I did play the multiplayer of it. Quite a bit, you know, because that's what everybody was still playing at that point.
Yeah, I remember the multiplayer of this being lackluster.
Yeah, it wasn't as good as the other ones
because they just started using the Forge engine like so much to create so many of the maps, and so they just looked boring.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of the. That was another part of it that sort of just bummed me out when I originally played it, because I was just where's Blood Gulch? Like, where are the cool maps that I think of?
Mm-hmm.
Beaver Creek, you know, like whatever, Hang 'em High, like just those, some of those levels are so like ingrained in my brain because they're so cool. They did such a cool job with like the environment and all that stuff. And they just started to turn out some lackluster ones. There were a few, like, it might be the first level or the second level where I got to a part and I was like, oh yeah, this is a multiplayer map. I forgot about this one.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, there weren't really a whole lot there.
Yeah. Maybe for like one or two, maybe we should like, cause that we can play crossplay. So maybe for
one. We can.
Yeah. We can do multi. This is the weird thing. So as a PC player, you can't do campaign together with Xbox players, but you can play multiplayer together.
Yeah. Well, that's a little less exciting. I was hoping we were going to be able to play the campaign together.
So there still might be a way to do that.
With those playlists?
Yeah, with the playlist
thing.
Yeah,
we should check that out.
We will have to check it out. But anyway, I think maybe
we digress.
One or two, maybe we will do a round or two just to like jump back in.
Yeah.
This is the closest thing to Halo multiplayer that I've played lately is Splitgate. And I'll tell you what, if you want a updated version of what Halo multiplayer was, but with fun portals, Splitgate does it.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
I mean, it even has like the announcer guy that sounds a lot like the Halo guy. It's just like deathmatch.
Yeah, that's what I want.
Yeah, I think Splitgate has a lot of potential there in that regard. But yeah, so like, I mean, we're kind of wrapping it up anyways, but any like definitive final thoughts on Reach?
Yeah, I think for its faults being weird controller scheme, because at that point, Bungie should have started realizing like it's time to change.
Right, because at this point, the like Call of Duty control scheme had basically become the default.
Yeah.
But Halo was like, yeah, we're still going to do it our way.
Yeah.
We're still going to make you throw a lot of grenades.
Yep, and, accidentally.
And pretty much you're going to get a couple of self kills.
Yep. For its faults there and the stupid, what are those called? Action packs. No.
Oh, the armor ability.
Yeah, the armor abilities. Yeah, the abilities.
Those were terrible.
And like sort of a clunky story at the beginning. I like the ending certainly makes up for that. There are bits that are really great. Like I said, the stuff with George, just such a human character. It was cool to see like Dr. Halsey, you know, sort of the beginning, you know, trying to, you know, come out with Cortana or leave with Cortana, and, you know, trying to make sure that humanity is saved just by protecting this AI, with all this knowledge and all of this stuff. I thought I was going to come at this with a lot more nostalgia and loving it a lot more because of said nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
But the rose-colored glasses were not as present as I thought they were going to be. And I think it's because of the control scheme in the end, because I was just pissed off by it and not being able to sprint. So that was a really long-winded way of just saying, like, it was, I really liked the ending of it, but it was certainly frustrating at times getting back into the swing of Halo.
Yeah, absolutely. I will say that there are times when I played this that I'm like, yep, I get Halo. And this is like, there are certain times where I'm just like, yeah, there are just times where you just want to hop in it. Because when it all clicks, like, that gameplay is just so fluid and just, it feels really good.
Yep.
It's just like now forcing my brain to remap the controls or making the game remap a little bit. And then I think it's perfect.
Yeah.
Like, that's, it's just a lot of fun. I think it gets better with, like, for me, Halo 2 is the platonic ideal.
Same.
Of Halo gameplay.
Yeah,
so I think apex. We're going to get, it's going to get better from here.
Yeah.
The story, I agree, the beginning of the story is all over the place and more or less just standard-ass military go shoot the bad guys. Like I said, the ending has stuck with me for well over a decade. I love that part of it. I think that is really well executed.
Yeah, they do a good job of sort of the bleakness in the end. And sort of, and I mean, I shouldn't fault the story because it's very much like a, this is out of nowhere, you know, what we have to scramble to sort of save everything. But I think that urgency in the story is not reflected as well in the actual gameplay, and that's why I feel like it's a little clunkier.
Yeah. They could have did a better job with sense of urgency.
But that's also just, I mean, maybe video games in general, because a lot of times they're like, the world's gonna end, but then you're like in an open world and you can do whatever the hell you want
right
for 20 hours and then you save the world. You know, so
not everything is Majora's Mask.
Yeah, right, exactly. Not everything is Majora's Mask. Is it the greatest game of all time? No, but
I'll never find out because the N64 won't stop overheating.
We'll never know. No, Super Metroid is. No, just kidding. But there's also a sense of urgency in that one. But anyway, there was one other thing I was going to say. I playing this again made me very excited for the trilogy, for Halo 1 through 3, to play through those again, because they just, for like the blandness at times that happens in Reach, I don't feel that way for definitely Halo 1 and 2. 3, yeah, 3 as well. I think the environments get really cool and all of that kind of stuff. So, it's just a much better... It's going to be a much better trilogy.
Well, I will say, like, now that we know how the playlist system kind of works with Master Chief Collection, like, maybe we will try to, like, we can at least, like, sit down and play a couple levels together, and then I can always pick it up from where I leave off or whatever when we do the other ones.
So yeah, true.
We do have a, because I would like to play some of it, like, split screen.
Yeah, I agree.
I feel like that would be... That's where the fun in these games lie.
Yeah, and that's when growing up playing those, that was the best part.
Yep, agreed. That was the most fun I ever had with Halo, was when other people are involved.
Yep, and playing, I mean, and that was why the multiplayer was fun too. I mean, you could, when you were doing those LAN parties or you were playing split screen or, you know, like whatever, like that was the fun part. And then, I mean, I don't know, just the internet came and like that was fun too, but just like
wasn't
you very immediately became, you very immediately realized like I really am bad at this. Yeah. And it's not as fun.
the talent pool got a lot wider.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Some people just, this is all they do.
Yeah.
But, yeah, but I think that's a good place to leave our first adventure in the Halo universe. And we're finally getting into the True Blue Master Chief saga.
The best parts.
Which is 1 through 4? Or 5.
He's in 5, too, I think.
Man, really? I thought they stopped after 5. I guess Infinite, the whole point of Infinite is that it's not Master Chief, right?
I don't know. I don't know. I literally don't know. Yeah.
That'll be a fun one when we eventually get to it.
Yeah. The first, 4 gets off the rails. But the first 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to 3 because I never touched any of 3. I have no idea what's in 3.
That's the one.
With I know the multiplayer.
That's the one with the last level that is incredible.
Yeah.
Honestly, like if I'm gonna say like one of my favorite levels of all time, it's very much up there. It's so much fun.
That's good to hear.
And I would love to play it together.
I'm not looking. Oh, okay.
Because it is ridiculous.
We'll try to make that one happen then.
Yeah.
I'm not looking forward to the flood level of Halo. I don't know anything about it.
There are lots of flood levels of Halo.
I just remember everyone's like the flood in Halo, and that's the one people hate.
The library.
I think that's
the name. Yeah,
the cartographer's library. Is that it?
There is the cartographer.
Okay, I'm just merging all these levels in my head.
Well, you could be right.
I don't know.
Be called the library and the No, I think it's just called the library.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But yeah, those are all intertwined in the flood levels.
Yeah. Well, that'll be for next time when we come back to Halo and we do Halo 1.
Yep.
But for now, we will leave you with a teaser for next month, which we didn't decide this. So I'm going to say it is down to one of two options.
Yeah.
So it's not that much of a mystery box, but you're going to find out now because it's really about trying to figure out what we can get in time.
Yeah.
So ideally, if we can find Paul a copy of it in time, we want to do Alan Wake, which I am very excited about. I love Alan Wake. I don't know how much it still holds up, but as someone who I got it and I remember I sat down an entire weekend to beat it.
I remember you doing that.
And I don't do that with a lot of games.
Yeah.
I beat it in the span of like 3 days. And I like the story a lot. What if you made a Stephen King book a game?
Yeah.
So I like that a whole lot. And before we knew this was even a thing, they literally just announced they're doing a remaster of it.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. 4K remaster on everything, including for the first time PlayStation consoles.
Yep.
So I'm thinking about buying, it's only $30. So I'm thinking about buying it on PS5 just to have it there, even though I had a 360 copy, and I'm not a 360 anymore. I have it on PC with the DLC because whenever they were doing like copyright issues, it went away, and so they sold it for like $1.
Mm.
They're just like, here, have it, because we don't know when it's coming back. And now it's getting remastered with all the DLC as well. So that is what we're hoping to do. Now, for some reason, if we can't get it in time, because October 5th is pushing it for how we record.
Yeah.
And especially with Extra Life coming up the month after that, that could cause some issues.
Yeah.
So the backup plan, which I am playing now just to get it out of the way, and it's a much shorter game, is an indie game. One of the few games that have come out recently that I feel like we need to talk about. So technically it's in the backlog in that I just put it there.
Yeah.
But it's an indie game called The Artful Escape.
Ooh.
And it is a game that I immediately thought of Paul whenever I booted it up for the first time. And I want to see the end of it. There was a brief week where I thought, oh, we should try that 12 minutes. And then everything I've read about 12 minutes since then, I'm like, not worth it.
Yeah, I don't even know that I've heard of it.
We'll talk about it some other time.
All right.
So, but that is it. Paul, thank you for shepherding me through this first Halo game. I look forward to you guiding me along the way
further. The others. Yeah.
Because when we get to the Master Chief stuff, I'm going to need a lot of help.
Yeah, it's sort of a convoluted story, but we'll...
Sort of.
Yeah, we'll get through it because there's definitely bits that I sort of don't remember how it all works, but it'll be a good time.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it.
I can't wait. So until next month, where we either bring you a fun, haunting experience or a quirky game about a musician. But hope you have a wonderful month. We will see you back soon again for another episode of the Backlog Review Game Club. Bye, everybody.
Bye.